response rate be? You do a direct mail campaign, what should the response rate be? And Dan says, well, the real answer is it doesn't damn matter because you don't deposit response rates in the bank. All you deposit in the bank is money. So the real question is, I did a direct mail piece, how much money did it generate? Right? So this is the same thing. The real question isn't necessarily what the enrollment ratio is, it's how many students do I get every month. That's the only thing that counts. Mm-hmm. So if I need 20 students a month to keep my school growing, which is the number we all need to be at, if I need 20 students every month to keep my school growing, then I don't care how many intro ones I have to do. If it's 50, then that's what I gotta do. If it's 100, then that's what I gotta do. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you know, it's frustrating, but that's the case, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So, but that is an important ratio. Once you get, now here's what we have to do to get that number, right? Here are some of the things that we have to do. So on intro one, we're sending them home with that big elaborate DVD and CD package, right? Mm-hmm. It's a big fourfold thing. It's got the sales letter in it and the DVD and the CD and all that stuff. And we send them home with the question sheet that we force the parent and the family, okay, Mrs. Jones, this is what you have to do. This is the student, you know, this is the student enrollment package. And then we fold it out for them and they go, wow, that's pretty cool. And they say, okay, this is the DVD here, right here, and we want you to watch this with the entire family, and here's the question form. And we want you to, as you're watching this DVD, fill out these questions. And some of the answers are on the DVD, so you're going to want to make sure, you know, you're going to want to make sure you go through that with the entire family. And you're going to want to have had that done before we come in for the second lesson, right?
What do you usually get? What's the gap, first, second, typical? What do you try to schedule? 2 days, 3 days?
Yeah, a couple days. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We have to give them time to do the DVD. And that's part of the phraseology in that presentation is, okay, here's the DVD, here's the question sheet. When exactly do you think you're going to have, you know, 30 minutes that you can sit down with the family and watch this? And they go, okay. Well, see, I'm going to work tomorrow, so, Is there any way you can do it tonight? Yeah, I mean, seriously, you got to take this seriously. I mean, you know, you can't just give it to them and hope that it's like showing the kid the sidekick and hoping he practices, right? Mm-hmm. See that, you know. If you did that, how would the students look, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is all the same process. If you just handed it to them and hoped they did it, how effective would it be? You know, you'd be in the 40% instead of, you know, in the 80s, right? So a lot of this has to do with the phraseology and the vocabulary, but in reality it has to do with you really, like, doing what you say you're going to do and, you know, and expecting what you expect, expect, right? So we give them the thing, and we give them the question sheet, and we make sure they know the time that they're going to watch it, and say, okay, great. You know what you could do is you could take this audio CD and you could pop it in the car right now on your way home and listen to it, which mostly is the transcript of all the audio recording of all of the testimonials from the CD anyway, the DVD anyway, right? So you could pop that in the car now, you know, and listen to it. So you have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to give them the frame of what, yeah, you have to teach them what to do. You know, you're an instructor, right? You know, I mean, right? So you know, that's part of the whole process. So we're doing all that stuff. We're calling to follow up with them to make sure that they've watched the DVD, right? So if we call them the next day to confirm them for their next day's intro two, we're asking them, okay, great. You said yesterday that you were going to watch the DVD on the way, you know, that night. Did you have a chance to do that yet? Oh, no, we didn't. Oh, well, in that case, right, reschedule them, do whatever you got to do, set up the other time. Another question that's important on that is, you know, we have you set up tomorrow for your second introductory lesson. Are you and his dad both able to make it at that time? See, now you got to listen to the answer to the question, right? Because sometimes the answer will be, oh, yeah, I'll be able to make it down at 3. Well, see, now that wasn't my question.
Right.
My question was, are you and his dad going to be able to make it,
right?
Right? So you have to reframe them. Say, okay, great, well, that's important. I'm glad you're able to make it too, but is dad coming too? Well, no, see, he's at work. Okay, well, that's a problem. So when is it that we can all get together, right? Because, again, if you want that tight enrollment ratio on intro two, you have to have all the decision makers there, right?
I know that's what you guys are doing, and for the past couple of years, I've been, you know, using the Clark model of mm-hmm. one intro
mm-hmm.
and, you know, working to convert it from there. And obviously, you have a great difference of opinion on that because I don't have a DVD. I don't have a CD.
Well, the reason we do two is because I want them to have that experience.
Right.
The reason we do two intros is because I think our price points are a little bit more aggressive. But really, it's because I want them to have watched the CD and have listened to this CD and watched the DVD, because all that stuff is designed to preframe them for the leadership.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it does a good job of facilitating the enrollment sale, but in reality, what it's for is I want them, before they enroll, to really understand what the core program in the school is all about. And I can't do that just in one intro.
And from a logistics point of view, are these CDs and DVDs available to outside franchises?
No, that's what your franchise should be doing for you.
Yeah.
Whoa. No, I mean that's the answer. What is a franchise for? A franchise right. is designed to facilitate sales for you.
Yeah.
That's what a franchise is for. The freaking style, who cares about? There's 8 million styles out there. Styles don't sell shit.
Right.
I'm not, but no, the answer is no. I mean, the answer is the challenge with that is they're so expensive to develop, right?
Okay.
That the reason it economically makes sense for the franchise is because it's all paid for. It's part of their
sure.
You know what I'm saying? But no, I mean, no. And some of these little projects that we're working on for NATMA will help facilitate some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, okay. So let's go back. But the real answer is no. But it's a good one you can model. I mean, you can look at ours and you can see what it's all about. And like what Mike did, I mean, production value in that thing. I mean, dollars wise.
It's easy enough to replicate. Really.
Ain't
it's
much.
A few hours
ain't much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
yours is primarily testimonials anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, put a camera in front of your boat and basically, and ideally, of course, making sure that you're touching on all the testimonials, but they're not all those objections.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's strategic. You picked strategic testimonial. The reason they're there is, you know.
Because you can have 10 in a row where they say how much they like you, like the style, and they love kicking and punching and all that sort of thing, but it doesn't talk to those standard objections that you're going to come from.
Right, and the 6 reasons people don't buy those testimonials that overcome those objections.
Exactly. Or at least what you'll start to see happening. And we're starting to see this happen with NAPMA quite a bit now. What you'll start to see happening is prospects overcoming their own objection verbally to you in the conference. Right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what we're hearing a lot now is people who call Bob and complain about something, and they'll say, well, you know, I did this ad thing and it didn't work real well, or I'm irritated because I want an ad that has a kid in a blue uniform because we wear blue uniforms instead of white. And I'm seriously, these are some of the questions we got. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Or we do hot keto, so and I'm not you know.
Yeah.
I'm
so I'm wearing a hakama, wearing a gi.
Exactly. So I want the uniform with the quilt, you know, the stitching on it, and all the stuff you're sending me has white uniforms, and I can't use that one because it doesn't have the stitching on it. And but what we're starting to hear more now of. Is that same conversation, the same screwed up belief structure, but we're dripping on them enough now that they're kind of saying it, and at the same time they're saying it, they're saying to Bob, well, you know, well, I'm not trying to say that my business is different, but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, some of my families don't, you know, see, they kind of really are kind of getting it, you know, they're kind of like...
I should have heard you say that enough times.
Exactly. So, which I think is a good thing. You know, like it's just like the parents, it's just like the families, right? If you could have your parents come to you once a year or whatever, and have the conversation either overtly or non-overtly, where they say, you know, I've really been trying not to say no so much at home, and I've really been trying. Now, see, that's big, right? You know, that's the same process. That's their belief structure changing, right? But I don't know how we got on that topic.
We've had, you know, in the past, parents have actually called or commented on an ad that we've had because there wasn't any black children.
Right.
I think they just made an appointment so they could come in and just talk to you about that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's more likely to come up way before anything about a uniform or what the style looks like or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys think this is like a sort of a good kind of...
I also had another thing about the intro one. How about the desperate parent, I want to sign him up today.
So
fix my child.
I don't let him.
You know, that kind of thing.
We don't let him. But,
right.
but I mean... well, I mean, again, well, you just have to be clear about what your objectives are, right? If my own... And you know what? Somebody on that silly discussion board... I think you're on that discussion board too, by the way. The Yahoo one? Somebody on that silly discussion thing yesterday was talking about, his name is Matt. I can't remember.
There's some real yo-yos on that thing.
Real yo-yos on that thing.
That's the one that's been around forever.
John started it.
Yeah,
like,
I have been getting it for years.
12 years ago or 15 years ago.
No, it's not the same one.
Isn't it?
No, it's not the same one. You know who started it? The guy who passed away out in Phoenix, Scottsdale.
Mike Anderson
started that. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
oh, Mike Anderson. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, so anyway, whatever. What was the specific question? Oh, if they want an LTA. Well, what brought it up was, which is, I mean, a good thing, right? But what brought it up is this guy's talking about, his name is Matt or something. You should read it. It's pretty funny. He's calling it the take advantage of the cheapskates to pay Matt idea or something, right? And that's what he's calling it. And something like that. And it was, he wants immediate cash flow in his school right now because he's ready to close. And so what he wants to do is do a $49 thing or a $59 thing and go get 100 students, right? Well, the fundamental problem with that is you don't have the budget to go get 100 students at $49 a month.
Yeah.
You know, see, that's what everybody forgets. Everybody forgets that the number of people who are going to walk in your door are directly proportional to the amount of activity you do to get the people to walk in the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have anything to do with price. People aren't walking around with $49 in their hand going, where am I going to go put this? Looking for the first guy that puts a $49 price point.
Oh, I can find a karate school that's only $49.
Or anything that's $49, right? It's not what it is. What it is you need to be stimulating the market from the cold, not you know, anyway. And the guys who are doing that, you don't want them anyway, right? But anyway, so I guess where I'm getting at is you have to be very clear about what your objectives are. And my objective is, when they sit down and sign papers, they have to very clearly understand that what they're agreeing to is an evaluation process, right? I need them to be very clear that they understand that the core program in our school is this leadership thing over here, and this leadership thing is, you know, 62 benefits, and unfortunately, this ain't for you yet, because we aren't comfortable with you yet, familiar with you yet, you haven't qualified yet, you haven't done the 62 things I'm going to make you do before you can get into the thing yet, right? All that stuff. So I need to make sure they're clear on that. So we don't let them enroll that day. I mean, literally, we make them do the second intro and watch the DVD and answer the questions and all that stuff. And if they're real serious about it, they will, you know, and they'll do it quicker, you know. And that might mean that they're earlier in your pipeline for renewal. I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to thump them. But
so if I understand you correctly, what you're doing is you're taking a longer vision of, because I don't need their money right now. I don't want their whatever their initiation fee is right now, because you're, by looking at the DVD, you know, you're really skewing them towards, wrong word, but towards a leadership program, which will have a higher end.
Yeah, leadership program's worth $17,000.
Yeah.
So I don't want to fuck up a $17,000 sale for $249.
Right.
I mean, if you want to talk math, that's the math.
Yeah.
Right?
You position yourself in a stronger position, and it's almost a takeaway anyway.
It's absolutely true. Okay.
Well, we're on this.
But that's a long story. I mean, it is a long story. It really is. And I mean, look, you know, does it make a big difference? Kind of does.
Yeah.
But if that's not your long-term vision, then it maybe doesn't. You know, again, if you're, the model you're operating now, why not enroll them? It's a 5-1 thing, and then the biggest thing you're ever going to do with them is this 11-1 thing, right? So, you know, it's, yours is a $1,200 sale. Mine's a $16,000 sale.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more deliberate about what I allow that experience to be like.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I mean, I could see where it's, you know, much better, because mine was the start and stop, where you're constantly making decisions.
Yeah, you're making decisions every 6 months. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
It, whereas yours is like, you're going to second degree black belt. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to make one big decision.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's simple, not easy, right? So it's simple to make that paradigm shift in all of us.
Right.
But keep in mind that none of that comes without doing a lot of work.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can't. Again, it goes back to all this thinking we're talking about. It goes back to all this, if I want that, what do I have to do to get it? And am I willing to do those things? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's always the big question, is are you willing to, like, you know, actually do it? You know, and if that means you've got to, you know, well, the thinking of you thing is a great example, right? And I'm just kind of pulling them out of the air here, but here's a great example. The thinking of you process. I gave it to all these guys at the show, right? Here's how that works. Mrs. Jones comes in for their first intro, and they, one of the components that we do to try to get that ratio, right? They come in and they check off whatever they check off, right? So self-esteem, right? So that night, the program director has this, it's called the thinking of you process. They put them in the database, it cues off the letter, and they print it. And there's a letter in there about how this program is specifically designed to develop self-esteem and all the proven success stories, and da, 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 with a little lift letter on it that's handwritten, that's signed by the instructor and has their name merged into it. And it says, you know, dear Mrs. Jones, I was thinking back to your introductory lesson today, and I remembered you had mentioned that your goals for Johnny was to do X, Y, and Z. And I thought back to my instructor certification program, and here's what I experienced through that program, and these are some of the resources that I had studied, and this is something that I thought you'd find valuable. And it's a little report. And then that goes in the envelope and with a hand little thing and a stamp, and we mail it to him, right? Now, in and of itself, that thing itself is only kind of like, oh, well, that was nice, right? But as a sum total of the whole, right, as a piece of the sum total, that's a big deal, right? So you got that thing going on, and the call going on, and the DVD, and the CD, and the questions, and this, and that, and the vocabulary, and the confirmation call, and this, all that stuff. See, all that adds up, you know? So you have to look at what the number is, you know? What's that number now? And say, okay, well, you know, what can I do to add 10%? 15% or 20% to that number. What can I do? What, you know, see, that's the question, right?
Mm.
Earlier, it's the how can I afford it question, right? Well, my, you know, right now it's only 50%, and they kind of get depressed about that, and they stop thinking about it, and they turn their brain off, and they say, well, my enrollment rate sucks, right? And that's the end of their psychological analysis, right? That's it. But instead, if they say, well, I'm at 50, how do I get to 60? What could I do that would, you know, what's the problem? Why aren't people enrolling? What's one of the reasons? What could I do to solve that reason? You know, what's one of the reasons? What could I do to solve that reason? You know, that sort of stuff, right? But
do
I mean, that's part of the
deal.
Do
you think that the higher your door price, when I say door, I mean initial, do you think the higher that is, the more stuff, so to speak, you have to do to get decent ratios from that?
I believe that, yeah. I mean, yes and no at the same time. I mean, I think there's a threshold, and I don't know where the threshold is, but where the threshold, what I believe the psychological trigger of the threshold is when you transition from a physical activity to something bigger, and for everybody that number's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a daughter in dance at $200 a month, then a son in karate at $200 is no big deal, you know. So same damn thing, right? Dance is dance, it's the same thing, right?
Okay.
But if I haven't had that experience yet. If I had the kid in T-ball and it was $30 for sixteen weeks or whatever, right?
Right?
Or whatever. See, now that's different, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the number is, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you take away all the stuff we're doing, everything, and still try to do the same price points, you know, I'm sure the ratio would suffer by something. I don't know by how much, but it would definitely suffer by something. And what would really suffer, unfortunately, would be the renewal ratio down the road, because that's really what all this is about anyway.
Right.
You know, it's not really about getting the first sale done.
Okay.
So
why not, and I'm not questioning what you guys do, but this is just how my thinking has been. You know, the old, like, slippery slope, you know, sort of method of marketing where you have a very low price entry point,
you have a big funnel,
and then you sell something a little bigger and something a little bigger and something a little bigger kind of a thing. And I'm not talking about for the renewal process so much, but I'm thinking more about actually the sign-up process.
Lead generation, yeah.
You know, not the lead generation, but the actual initial sign-up process. Like, is it not enough to give them just a little bit of information about, for example, you know, this is our introductory program we're talking about today, Mrs. Jones. You know, our main program at the school is our Black Belt Leadership Program, and that program has blah, 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 blah. And, but, you know, this is not, you know, for Johnny yet, because, you know, that takes some time and so on and so forth. And so you mention it, but you don't necessarily, you know, hammer them with it until after they're already a member, and that's when that sequence starts to really build the value for that one. Sort of make it very easy for them to sign up so you don't, you know, I think I mentioned to you on our phone call way back, but for the last about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, we've been using, the ongoing program as opposed to a term on the initial deal.
Yeah.
All right. So when we switched to that, we found two things. You know, we weren't doing our upgrades until 2 or 3 years down the road, but what we found is our first year renewal. In other words, when we were doing one-year contracts and trying to renew them to the second year, obviously you lose a certain number because they have to make that big decision again. Oh, do I want to renew for another year?
Mm-hmm.
So we started signing them up on ongoing programs. So they would sign up for, basically, they had a choice. And then we found the choices didn't work, too many decisions to make. So we gave them, like, you know, a 30-day cancellation, a 3-month cancellation, or a 6-month cancellation. we found, you know, there was too many choices. So what I did is I still show them that, but I say to them, we start everybody off with a 3-month cancellation. And what I find is that people are pretty comfortable with that. I also give them 100% money back guarantee during the first month. Which
we actually just talked about the issue. That's a good
which
point.
Nobody really used, you know, I mean, it never happens. It just does. I mean, if it happened once last year, it's a lot. It just doesn't happen. But it makes them more comfortable. You know, hey, look, you know, for whatever reason during this first month, because we're doing a one intro. So we're, and I'm saying to them, listen, you know, we talked about a lot of things tonight. We've showed you a little bit, but we realize that you haven't had the opportunity to, like our ad says, you know, trial, you know, we advertise a trial month, 1995 uniform, blah, blah, blah. And that gets them in the door. In my mind, that is really just to get them in the door. And it's a bait and switch, but it's not. We do offer that, what we tell them we're going to give them. Yeah. But we also say, hey, listen, you know, we have a $100 registration fee at the end of the first month. And we do a blah, blah, blah with option A, but option B, this is the, John Prasad's
thing. Okay. Yeah, I might be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, then option B is, and this is the one pretty much everybody does. That's the pre-framing for that. And basically what happens is we do all the paperwork tonight. You still get the benefit of the first month for 1995. However, we do all the paperwork tonight, and you know, Johnny gets his uniform, we're all set to go. And for whatever reason during the first month, if this is not everything we say, he just really doesn't like it or whatever, you know, we'll give you 100% money back guarantee. And it just makes the sale really, really easy.
Yeah.
And then they're ongoing. Now, years back, before we really did the earlier upgrades, I mean, they didn't have to think about renewing. What they all had to think about was really sort of 3 months in advance, so to speak. And most people didn't have to make that decision over and over again. They just kept going. Now, when we did get a cancellation, most people make their kids come for that period of time, or at least part of it. Mm-hmm. And so we had a chance to work on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's going on? Well, you know, he's kind of losing interest and blah, blah, blah. A lot of times, well, do you mind if we speak? No, it'd be great. We want him to continue, but he doesn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of those kids, not all, you know, a percentage of them, maybe 30, 40, 50% of them, we would save. We would get them regenerated up and they would keep going. So what I'm saying is that since this is a pretty easy first sale and we get a really high percentage from the first, especially if I do the intros, I mean, which I do almost all. Like my wife did one yesterday and she didn't close it. But the kid's on the 1995 deal and I'm hoping that I'm going to, you know, meet with him again and try to make the deal, make it happen. So, I mean, we're at about a buck and a half a month to start. And we get a really high ratio. I'm just wondering if like, what is it, you know, what do you see as the holes in that thing? If we do a little bit of pre-framing, and then we do a lot of pre-framing after that point to get them to go into the higher deal.
What you're describing isn't really much different than what we're talking about. I mean, the problem with a real low point of entry is, see, you're teaching them what your thing is worth,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have to be careful what you teach them, you know. So if you teach them it's worth $50 and you try to go sell them $359 later, that doesn't work very much.
No, but you know I'm, I mean? It's one. It's like it's $150 for the monthly.
That's what I said. You're not far off.
Yeah.
Now the challenge with like term memberships and stuff like that is, again, what are you teaching them to think about? You're teaching them to think about 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
See, I want them to think about 6 years. So I don't want 90 days or 3 months or 6 months ever even to enter the conversation for them, right? So you've got two dynamics. You've got what makes the sale easy, and you've got what sets the thing up for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Better,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, making the sale easy is no contract, give me $50, you're in the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, that screws up the culture for what you want to do. What you really want is the $16,000 renewal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You want them focused on the degree.
Yeah. I mean, again, just keep in mind, almost everything that we think they're thinking, they're not thinking, right? Almost every, really. The only thing that they're thinking is what we've allowed them to think, right?
Right.
And in any direct selling environment, right? You know, that show Pitchman. Did I tell you guys about that yesterday?
Awesome.
No, it was Inner Circle Guys. Pitchman, it's here in Tampa, right? It's Billy Mays, the guy who does OxyClean.
Yeah.
The infomercial guy, right?
Yeah.
So they live right here in Tampa.
Okay.
And
English accent guy.
That's his partner.
Oh, okay.
That's his partner. Billy Mays is the guy with the beard.
All right.
The real black beard and the blue shirt, right?
Yeah.
But the English guy is his partner. So their partner's in a company right over here, and they bought a little plane. They fly to Clearwater Airport here all the time on their little push prop and everything, right? So, you know, it's kind of funny watching on television. But I'd love to go hook up with them. I'd love to do something with
them. Clearwater, I used to work right next to that.
It's right up here. Yeah. But anyway, so...
Off to St. Pete Clearwater Airport.
Right here, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not the Clearwater.
Right here. If you take a left on Almerton, right there. On the right.
Clearwater Airport.
Yep, yep. Anyway, what was I going with that? Oh,
but
you just
know what they're thinking.
Yeah. Here's what it was. They just pitched this little bowl called the grater plater, right? So it's a little plate, and it's got a little built-in grater in it, you know, like it's ceramic, and it's got little bumps. And you take your ginger or your whatever, and you just rub it on it, and it grates it up, and then you just pour the olive oil in it, and you put – really cool, right? But anyway, so the environment that these guys sell in the two-minute infomercial, it's $19.95 or nothing,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if it's anything over $19.95, you got big problems and, you know, whatever, right? But they'd been selling these plates at, like, $20 for, like, one little plate, right? So he was like, well, we need to get it down to $5 because we need to make it a four-pack. And, you know, here's one, and you get three bonuses and all that other stuff, right? But anyway, just to make a long story short, they went out to one of these little trade show things, one of these little, you know, flea market things, and watched the guy pitch it. And sure as hell, he's getting $20 a plate, and they're buying him four or five at a time. So here they're at a flea market where the biggest sale at the flea market is, you know, $11 thing, right, or whatever, right? And these guys are buying $100 with these little plates at a time, right? So see the dynamic there is everybody made the assumption about what their preframe was on the way in the flea market, right? Well, that's true, except for if you tell them something different, right? If you like create an environment that, you know, and the reason was because they were handmade in France is really the reason they could sell them at $20, right? See, if they're from China, they'd be a dollar, you know, $9 for six of them, right? But since they were handmade and hand painted in France, he kind of created that customer relationship, right, by defining the terms of the relationship, you know. So here's the same deal. Again, you've got the two dynamics. You've got what makes a sale easy, and you've got what's more productive in the long run. And again, it's a judgment call. I mean, look, it depends on what you want to do with them at the end of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on where you want them to go and what you want them to be thinking as they go there. So what's more important than any of this logistical stuff for all of us to be thinking is begin with the end in mind. What is the customer that we want to create? What is it? What do they look like? What do they smell like? What do they taste like? How do they act and how do they behave? So now how do we orchestrate something that creates that, you know? So, and if they behave by paying us a lot of money and taking our program very seriously and reading to the kids at home every week because they have to do the reading requirement and freaking out on the way to the karate school because Johnny hadn't quite completed memorizing the thing that he had to memorize for that week. And see, if that's the customer we want, we have to be very, very careful with the relationship from the very beginning to make sure we create that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying I think that's the frame that we should all have is, you know, what's the end result with these guys? What does it take to create that? And have everything add up to that.
I've heard Stephen Oliver say multiple times that, you know, when he's talking about this process, that he says, we just happen to do 12 months. He says a lot of people do 6 months.
Yeah.
He says, I don't know if it really makes any difference. And so I'm thinking, well, if, you know, the whole idea is, you know, to get him into the leadership program anyway.
Yep.
So, like, you know, whether it's 6 months, whether it's a 90-day cancellation, whether it's, you know, if I can make the sale easier and I can build the value and get him in there, what the hell's the difference?
As long as it doesn't screw up the way they think about you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you. And the reason 6 or 12 doesn't make much difference is just because don't miss the reason for that, because that's, like, super important, right?
Okay.
The reason he says that is because of what we talked about yesterday, because we never talk about that number ever anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See, people aren't buying. Again, you got to think about the five reasons people don't buy things, right? And why people do buy things. And the term isn't a reason for either.
Okay.
People don't buy dance because it's 6 months. They find out it's 6 months after they made the decision they want to buy. Really, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with us. They're not saying yes because it's only 3 months. They might say no because it's a long term and they can't perceive it to be realistic. They might, but it happens very rarely. But they're not buying because of that, and they're not buying because of that. They're buying or not buying because of other things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason 6 or 12 doesn't make any difference is because, frankly, we in the entire sale conversation never talk about 12 months. We never say it, you know? We would never say 6 months because we don't want them to think about our program in terms of how often do I have to make a decision.
Right.
Because it's one decision. That's it. And it's, are you going to be a part of leadership or not?
So how
now you can't make that decision
today.
So what's a typical promotion?
Yeah,
what we're asking.
Well, how do
you get them in the door?
No. I'm thinking how do you,
it doesn't matter. The offer doesn't matter.
How do you present? You know, we've talked about a lot of things, but actually, you know, how do you present it? Do you present it as a this is what the program costs, and this is it, or you focus on the monthly amount, or like
it's very easy. It's basically this. Again, we have to recant the conversation we had yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation is this.
Can you do this on the whiteboard?
Yeah, and I think I did actually.
You didn't want to see that, did you? He's drawing the pad. Do you guys see it up here?
here are the real broad strokes. But basically, this is how the orchestration of the sales conference goes, the renewal, the enrollment conference goes. Well, no, that's not true. Well, let's start here. Okay, so again, the core program in our martial arts school, what our school is all about this thing called XYZ. It's called leadership. And what the leadership program is we've identified very clearly that through lots of research and is that there's three types of people in every, you know, there's three types of children, there's three types of adults. There's leader, followers, and everybody else. Now, what we've made a very clear decision is that our school is all about generating the next generation of leaders, right? Now, here are the five fundamental phases of leadership. You've got, you know, that, right? So it's number one, becoming an independent self-starter, you know, which means that you'll be, you know, whatever. Becoming an independent self-starter. The second one is becoming an interdependent team member. It's that maturity continuum. An interdependent team member. The third one is direct one-on-one leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Which is being responsible for someone else's results, not just your own. You know, so taking responsibility for someone else's results. Third one is small group leadership, which is leading a one-to-many. And then the fifth, is executive leadership, which is leading other leaders, right? Which is being responsible not for someone else's results, but for someone that they're responsible for. So what we've identified is that, you know, that these are the things that the elementary school systems don't have time to teach, right? These are the things that they're so busy teaching how to read and write that they don't have time to develop these skills. That's what we're here for, right? So now, so this is what the leadership program is all about, and these are the 62 benefits that go along with that. So does that make sense for you, Mrs. Jones?
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, good. Well, now, unfortunately, at this point in our relationship, this is only, you know, your second lesson. Unfortunately, at this point in our relationship, this isn't something that Johnny qualifies for yet. So before we actually talk about this, what he qualifies for today is this thing we call the orientation. It's called orientation. It's basically just an orientation. Okay? And in the orientation, what we're going to do is accomplish these three or four things. And that's going to be we're going to give him some real practical self-defense abilities, some self-defense skills, which at the same time, hand in hand, are going to work with this level of self-confidence and self-esteem, right? You know, those benefits. Now, the orientation program is very simple to get started. Right now, the orientation tuition is $197 a month. Is that going to work for the budget? Well, okay, great. $197 works for you. Okay, great. So basically, what we have to do to get started today is there's a $397 enrollment fee, and $197 a month, and since you came in from XYZ Elementary School, we have such a great relationship with that elementary school, we're able to offer you a discount of $200 off the enrollment fee, so it's $197 to enroll, plus your first $197 payment, that means it's $298, whatever the number is, $394 today. How would you like to handle that, credit card or check or cash? How do you want to take care of that payment? I mean, that's how simple it is, right?
Yeah.
So all I did, see, I haven't talked, I'm not selling term, I'm not selling any of that.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm saying, this is what it's about. You don't qualify, you have to do an orientation.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to commit to this yet for you. Right? All you can do is this. Right? And then they say, well, check. Right? Okay, great, go ahead and fill that out and I'll be right back. And they fill the check out, and then you bring back the contract. And you say, okay, let me just have you. Here's where it identifies the, you know, you're going to see your payments coming from ASF, and this is how it works with us. I'm right here. And they go, oh, it's 12 months. I didn't know that. Well, yeah, within 12 months, you're going to learn, Johnny's going to have enough experience to be able to really defend himself if he ever had to. But in reality, between 2 weeks and 2 months is when we're going to be discussing what's next, if it's appropriate. In reality, what you need to be focusing on immediately is going through the qualification code. And here's the sheet that describes the three things you want to do this next, 2 weeks to make sure you're ready in the quality and all that sort of stuff, right? It's just not part of the conversation. Remember, the only thing that they're thinking is what you allow them to think and what you create in their head, right? That's it. They're not thinking about term. They're just not. When they go to the dance, if you were to walk in with your daughter to the dance school, do you know how long it is for dance lessons?
No.
How long is it? I don't. How about gymnastics? If you were to take your daughter, who is really enthusiastic about gymnastics right now, and you took her by the hand and walked her into the gymnastics school, what do you know about it?
Nothing.
I don't know. Nothing.
Do they use contracts?
I do know because,
I know about
it's 9 months. It's a school year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a summer.
They take a summer off?
They have a summer schedule. And then you sign back up and you've got 9 months. And then
I had no clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they didn't tell me that, they could tell me anything.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they can tell me it's a year.
Summer came.
Yeah.
You know, she's
they
been
can tell
doing
me
it
for
a
while.
They
could
apply to all
kinds
of things. It seems to me, I bet there's a lot of school ownership trying to think for their potential clients.
That's almost always what
they're not going to go for this, or nobody's going to be paid that much. He's probably going to think this is expensive, and there's a little conversation going on in their own mind about what this guy thinks. And like you said, they're probably always wrong.
It's almost
always
wrong.
They only know what you tell them.
It's
That's information worth showing up for.
That's big, right? You create your own universe, right? What's cool about all this stuff is like it's the liminal tier deal, or law of attraction deal, right?
Yeah.
The universe gives you what you give out, right?
Yeah.
And I know I'm a little abrasive sometimes, and I get irritated by this stuff, you know, and all that. But in reality, what it really is like funny to me, right? Because I used to think the same damn way. Seriously. When I opened that first school over there, I was $65 a month and 2-for-1 for family members, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I beat my head. I had 200 students in about 45 days.
How many years ago was that? Roughly.
9, 10?
Yeah. Well, that was the going rate at the time.
Yeah, 9, 10.
Is there a discount now for extra family members?
10%.
10%?
Well, no, actually, it's a family program. So it's $197 for 1. 384 for 2, and the entire family goes for the 2.
Okay.
We used to do 10%, 15%, but we changed it actually a couple years ago. And I haven't done an enrollment in about a year or longer than that.
What were the first two parts of the maturity continuum for you?
Independent self starter, and then interdependent team member.
Got it.
And that only really comes up, that whole conversation, the deep part of the conversation comes up later on in the renewal. Because you're letting him choose. You know, what is it, which goals would you have for Johnny? Is it, would you be satisfied in 4 years or 5 years as Johnny is a black belt to be simply a great part of a team and a great, you know, self-starter? Or would you like to see him be able to?
I did write down a question from yesterday on that.
But you know what I'm saying? So the term thing again, it makes us feel more comfortable, not them.
Right.
Which is look, that is significant. Because if you have, and we've done this a lot, because with new franchisees coming in and stuff like that, and with coaching guys, we've done this a lot. If you're not comfortable with it, if it's something that you have a problem with, don't do it, because you'll screw it up. I mean, you know, you will. You'll just subconsciously. Robert Lewis was a, we have him on tape, and he's really good. Robert's really good. And what Robert was doing was, he was like this, and he was walking everybody through everything, right? You know, all this stuff we're just talking about here. And then as soon as he would get to the price point, when he turned the sheet of paper around, he would go like this.
Yeah, you can just tell.
He's bracing himself for it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. If you said it was $15,000, when the guy first sat down, you know how many people are going to get mad at you? 1 out of 100, right? I mean, really, right? I mean, nobody's really going to get mad. Nobody's going to yell at you.
No.
Nobody's going to. But that's what we all fear. Yeah. What we all fear is somebody standing up and saying, "How could you possibly charge this much? This is too..." Number one, nobody's going to do it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That never actually crossed my mind. Never.
Really, really.
Yeah.
It might be a belief thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I mean, look, nobody's going to do that. But anyway, what I'm saying is the term argument is almost always a moot point, because frankly they're not thinking it when they walk in the door. So if they are thinking it, we put it there.
Okay.
Or they've had some experience in the past, perhaps at a gym or a health club or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what would that experience have been, by the way? It'd been a year, right?
Right.
Is there any health club around that makes you do less than a year? Not many. Yeah, not many. There are a couple of month-to-month ones now that their business model is what you're describing, like Planet Fitness. Their business model is $49 a month, no contracts. You pay your first, last, and initiation fee up front, right? So you pay a couple $100 up front. But then it's $50 a month, no contract. But their business model is big funnel personal training, $300-$400 a month personal training.
Right.
So that's exactly what they want to do. Now, the problem with big funnel high upgrade with martial arts schools is we never have enough budget to have a big enough funnel. I mean, really, right?
Yeah.
A health club is going to do 100, 150 new members a month. Martial arts school is going to do 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were going to reverse the economics, right, and make a huge lead generation funnel, you would need, 50,000-$60,000 a month marketing budget, right, to be able to facilitate generating as much as you want to do to, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to be a little careful with that, but. Does that make sense? Is that useful, helpful?
Yeah.
Did you have something on that? Or?
When they call on the phone, or don't they already know? I mean, if they've probably been referred, they're going to know that, my best friend told me that, this is a great karate school. So aren't they going to say, we had to watch a DVD, we had to answer these questions? Is that something?
In some cases.
Some of them are going to already know what they're doing.
In some cases, yeah. I mean, for referrals, they're going to know a little bit, but I think what's real important here is that we will always overestimate what they know. We'll always think that they're thinking more than what they really are, right? Because in all honesty, people are pretty oblivious about everything, right? I mean, really, right? I mean, unless it's your core competency, unless it's something that you have to pay attention to, most of us don't pay attention to much. Right? I mean, really. Look, we're all busy. There's more information in the universe than we're ever going to be able to consume. So unless it directly affects us right now, most of us really aren't paying attention to much, So I think if the pendulum has to swing, let it swing all the way over to the left where assume they don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be right more often than you'll be wrong. And certainly we all have a preconception that people know a lot more than, or are thinking a lot more things than they really are. If that makes sense. I mean,
also how many years have you been doing this type of 10 years?
Five, I guess.
So with sending them home with a DVD to watch and a CD, do you have to send them home? I mean, could you set up?
We do that as well.
Doing it at the studio.
We do that as well.
Setting up a room where
it's a different, shorter video. Right?
Yeah. We have a little PowerPoint presentation. Yeah, we do both. Again, you have to whatever that number was.
Right.
Again, you're looking at the number and you're going, okay, I'm at 60%. What can I do 65? Right. So one of the processes is there's two PowerPoint presentations. There's one in the first intro that they go through, and there's one in the second intro that they go through.
Mm-hmm.
And the PowerPoint basically is testimonials and all the stuff that they're thinking in their head. Being told to them by other parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the answer is yes. Now, the at home dynamic, again, that's just a tool. So, two things. Let's not get too hung up on exactly what the tool is.
Right.
Although DVDs are a decent media,
mm-hmm.
We always give it to them on CD as well because we know sitting in front of a DVD for 40 minutes sometimes is difficult, right? So if they do the CD, they get it. If they do the DVD, they get it. Plus, they get the little letter, which is also in there, right? But anyway, so don't get too caught up on the tool, because people will have a tendency to say, "Well, I don't have a DVD, so I can't do any of this stuff." No, right? So don't get too hung up on that. What could you do? Well, you could have a web page they go look at. You could have a blog they go read. That you could have an audio recording you give them. They could download an MP3. You could give them a letter. You could have them sit in a room and watch a PowerPoint. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. So it is important not to get too hung up on the actual tool itself.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is right. I mean, from the minute you contact somebody, from the minute they hear of you or whatever it is on the ad, and then from then on into the future, you should think about that like a pipeline and very strategically orchestrate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's they walk in and they do the tour, and this is how they do the tour, and then they sit in this room and they watch a 4-minute clip,
mm-hmm.
and then the instructor comes in to do the intro with them, well, that's perfect. It's actually 8 minutes, I think. Our clip is 8 minutes.
And you do that with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah, the parent has to be there and the kid has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very Tommy Lee-ish. T- tell you the truth. The next phase of it is, well, I saw you watch, you know, you watched the DVD. What'd you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was there anything specifically that you really liked? Oh, yeah, well, I really liked it. And you're jotting that down. Was there anything that was a concern for you? Oh, well, you know, the lady said this. And I thought, okay. You know, it's just a communication. It's just a tool to open communication lines. Right? But, yeah, your thing was what, 9 minutes?
Yeah, 9.5, something.
Yeah. And if you add what we talked to, it'll be a little longer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that could be facilitated both ways. You know, your sales guys, if they could click through that thing.
I have a real, real quick question as an aside. I don't use PowerPoint, but I understand it's fairly easy to use,
easy,
right?
Yeah.
If I developed a PowerPoint presentation, how would you convert that to DVD? Is there an easy way to do that? PowerPoint to DVD or no?
Well, it's basically winds up being a bunch of slides, so you would advance the PowerPoint at your own rate.
No, in other words, if I wanted to create something in PowerPoint,
yeah,
but I want to put it so you just stick it in the machine,
right,
boom, it plays.
Basically, what you're doing with PowerPoint is a series of graphics. They could be JPEGs. So essentially, what you would wind up doing is almost exactly what you do with your video.
Exactly. Yeah.
That could have generated. That's what I thought it was originally.
So you can't really automate it. You can't like create the PP, whatever it is, and then just put,
well,
you know, somehow run
remember,
it and make it.
PowerPoint is made to go along with your live narration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not.
I can give you a cheat.
Not in its beginning form set up to do that. I mean, because you obviously have to record the narration,
right,
and add the things and proper timing and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
No, it's not really.
I can give you a cheat though. Jing.com.
Jing?
J-I-N-G.
Uh-huh.
It's just a screen capture to video thing.
Right.
So what you do is just launch your PowerPoint, hook your mic up, launch Jing, shrink it down to capture the screen, and just record it once on Jing, your narration, and then click through the slides, and it'll make MP4 out of it. Or whatever video file it is, AVI. And you can burn through.
I mean,
it's just a cheat.
I mean, the way I did this thing is I just used Publisher because it's a program I've been using for a million years.
That wasn't Publisher?
Well, what I did is it was three steps. I made the screens in Publisher. First, I figured out the right size, the 760 by whatever the heck
uh-huh,
it is.
Uh-huh.
And so once I figured out the size, I basically made the screens in Publisher. I copied and pasted them into, I used PaintShop Pro instead of Photoshop. But
uh-huh.
And then I converted them to a JPEG or a PNG. I think PNG
uh-huh.
files seem
uh-huh.
to work better. And then I used those images
in the video
through the video editing program.
On the
I mean, I knew how to do it that way. It wasn't
yeah.
that big a deal. So,
so really,
it'd be the same
to,
thing. It'd be the same
to
thing.
Do, to include PowerPoint in that pipeline would be unnecessary.
No, I'm just thinking in terms of if I make to make another one, it might be easier to use PowerPoint. Because, I mean, I get these PowerPoints.
Not really. See, PowerPoint's designed for live presentation.
Okay.
And so, really, like I said, including that in this that pipeline would be circuitous.
You wouldn't need to.
Basically.
But if you were going to, I'm almost positive, let me see your file, say that.
You can create those things right in PaintShop Pro also. I mean, you don't need to import them from your other program anyway.
That's right.
You can create them in PaintShop Pro. It's just,
yeah.
To
oh,
me it was easier
yeah,
to...
Right.
Well, here's the other part of the answer. You can save a PowerPoint in PNG, JPEG, GIF, whatever you want.
You can save as PNGs.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Or PDFs or whatever.
Right. I thought I mentioned that. Yeah. So that's what that, basically all they are. I mean,
but if you save it, isn't it's going to be one big giant file, right?
No. It saves them all as individual files.
Oh, well, as individual
files.
There's
actually a couple different ways to do it. It gives you a couple options of how to save a PowerPoint.
Okay.
And usually it'll create, you'll just dump all of your
so I just dumped them on the timeline.
You'll dump them into one big folder with that tournament, whatever you want to turn them into, JPEG or PNG.
Okay.
And then you take them and stick them in your video program.
Overlay over the audio.
It's pretty straightforward these days.
Yeah. All right. Easy one. Good. Okay, good. So number next is we got to talk about how to like immediately go like create a huge summer, right? Right. And you guys are already kind of up to speed on that summer deal?
I dropped the ball. I'll be honest.
A little bit.
I got
two. You got two? Okay.
I got one so far.
Mm-hmm. Here's the big, and for you guys, this will probably be pretty big, but like initially starting off with Paradigm again, but you know a lot of school owners get into the false assumption mindset that the summertime is more difficult to find students than the school year because everybody's on vacation and stuff, right? Which is totally like backwards, right? It's totally in reverse. It depends on how you look at the world, but even though there's a huge segment of the population who's off schedule now, right? You know, they're off, you know, doing their things. If you're in the family market, which we all are, if you're in the family market, then the kids are more accessible during the off season than during the school year, right? Especially if you have difficulty getting into the school systems.
How long can you be on vacation, right? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
a month at the most, right?
Time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
plus,
what happens to our program then?
They better not, but nothing better happen to your program.
Well, I'm saying that's, you know, what do you do when we go on vacation is frequently what comes up.
You make classes up.
I think frequently is inaccurate, but maybe in your universe it is. But in reality, you know, you set that expectation to begin with, right? But the answer to the question is, well, okay, Mr. Jones, so how long are you going to be gone? Oh, we're going to be gone for 2.5 weeks. Okay, great. Well, let's set up a couple of makeup classes for when you get back. And will that work for you? Yeah, okay, good. See you when you get back, right? Well, but, you know, we're going to be gone for a month, and, you know, we don't want to pay if we're not going to be here. And okay, well, I understand. If you're going to be gone for a month, that's fine. What we can do is we can take that time that you're going to be missing and add it back onto the end of your membership so that you're not missing anything. Just make sure that your payments, you know, stay up the way they need to be so that the billing company doesn't go hunt you down. But we'll make sure that you're guaranteed the time so you don't lose it. Oh, well, okay. You know, I didn't want to pay while I wasn't here. Well, you know, I understand, but, you know, it's kind of like the car payment. Even if you're not driving the car, you got to make sure you pay for it. And, you know, the billing agreement that you made was that, you know, you would make, you know, payments every month. So, you know, we don't want them to come chase after you. It's not a big deal. But the summertime, basically, the deal is that the kids are more accessible, right? So, again, think about the bear, right? Well, if you're the bear, where should you be standing right now?
Right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah. So, like, where are the big herds of kids at, right? Well, they're in everybody else's day camps, right? So every elementary school in your area, every church, every daycare, they have 50, 75, 100, maybe 30, right, kids in their day camps, right? So you better be there, you know? I mean, why don't you have a relationship with those people, right? I mean, you need to, right? Those are the questions you should be asking yourself. Why don't I have a relationship with those people, right? So the model that we're using basically is, and Juan has done a great job over here, and I'll take partial credit for it, because I had set up a bunch of these relationships for the last 3 or 4 years over there for him, right? So he didn't have to do a lot of work. But he has 10 programs set up, which basically are going to get him in front of 750 kids in June and July, right? So basically the pitch is this. The angle is this. Okay, so if I'm a summer camp facilitator, now, granted, the clock is running on this, and it's past its prime, because this should have been 4 weeks ago that you were talking to these people, right? So let's rewind the clock 4 weeks ago. Let's say it was 4 weeks ago. Then if I'm a summer camp facilitator, 4 weeks ago I was saying to myself, again, this is how do I enter the conversation that's already going on in their head, right? So if you're a summer camp facilitator at an elementary school, you've got your calendar sitting on your wall big as life, right? And you've got all the dry erase markers. And you've got 900 kids in your elementary school. Or maybe 700 kids in the elementary school, and you know every year you have 110 of them that are in the summer day camp, right? So now you're doing the math, and you're saying, okay, I've got 110 kids in my day camp, I've got 5 assistants, here's my event calendar, we're at the bowling alley on Wednesdays, and we're doing the movie thing on Thursday. What the hell else am I going to do with these kids all summer, right? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, lo and behold, we have a great solution for you, right? So we're moving into those, creating relationship with those facilitators, and the solution to their problem that we have is that they can. I think the headline on the sales letter is, "Would you like to discover a no cost, like a free field trip that your students will love and their parents will thank you for?"
Yeah.
Right. So what it is we're basically offering them to come to our school as a field trip, right? And if they don't have transportation, we go to them. But in reality, what we want them to do is come to us. So, and almost all of them do have transportation, right? Because if they're going to the bowling alley and they're going to the movie theater, they have to be able to get the kids there, right?
Yeah, we actually have every other week an elementary school coming in from like 10 to 11:30 for part of their summer camp type of thing.
Exactly, exactly. So and the other headline on this that I didn't do this year that I'll probably do next year is, you know, why is NAPMA encouraging all of its members not to have a summer camp this year? Just like Bill Glazier's, why does Glazier Kennedy recommend its clients do not send Christmas cards this year? The same sort of pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they suggest you don't send Christmas cards is because they would rather have you send Thanksgiving Day cards, because everybody sends Christmas cards and you get lost in the shuffle. But if you send a Thanksgiving card, nobody sends Thanksgiving cards,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to stand out from the crowd. And by the way, what better time of the year would there be to thank your customers than Thanksgiving, right? So this is the same thing. Juan now is not only okay. We for a while we had done a lot of summer camp, and then we narrowed it down because it was so labor intensive. Now I told him this year not even to do one, because frankly this is a better lead generator and revenue generator than doing a summer camp that takes 10 hours a day to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so basically what it is this. What's that?
How fortuitous, because we set up a summer camp and we really didn't generate enough enrollment for it, so we rescheduled it for later in the summer.
Mm-hmm. So here's the alternative, right? Is that, you know, you start with the biggest schools and then you work your way down to the smaller ones. And mostly it's, let's say it was 4 weeks ago, mostly it's we called every school, every church, and every daycare in a 5 mile, maybe 10 mile radius, right? Everybody in the town. And we played prospect. And we said, you know, do you guys have a summer camp this year? Yes. Great. I might be interested in, you know, well, whatever. Do you have a summer camp this year? Yes. Oh, great. Who's the facilitator of the summer camp? Oh, Mrs. Jones? Okay, great. Mrs. Jones. And how would I contact her if I wanted to? Okay, great. That's how I contact her? Good. How many people do you think you're expecting in the camp? I'm kind of, 50. Okay. 100. Okay. 300, right? So you're making all these notes.
Oh, do you have martial arts in this day?
No, see, that's not a bad idea.
You're playing a prospect?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're just calling, you're mining data.
Right.
Right? You're just finding out. What I want to know is how many they're going to have and who the facilitator is, how I get a hold of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. But it is important for me to know how many they have, because I want to sort them by ascending order, by descending order, you know, because I want to fill up my schedule with, you know, because I did it the wrong way 1 year, and
it's
just
a big fish.
Exactly. I the first year I did it, I took anybody who would say yes, right? And what happened was by the second week I was into it, I had my schedule full with going way the hell out to the other side of the town to this little Twinkle Toes daycare that had like 12 3-year-olds, right?
Mm.
I mean, that was what they had. And I was lucky. That was the first one I booked, right? So I was like happy to have it. And then by the second lesson, I was kicking myself in the butt, because instead of doing the big church down the road that had like 109 people in their day camp, I was stuck doing 12 at Twinkle Toes, right? So you don't want to do that deal, right? So you sort them in descending order by how many kids are going to have in the thing. And now keep in mind, by the way, when you've got a big influx like that, your ratios go to hell, right? I mean, because they just are. You know, I mean, if you've got 150 leads from one program, if you enroll a third of them, you're doing good, right? If you enroll 15% of them, you're probably fine. But what's 15% of 150? Would you like 17 enrollments in June? Yeah. Right? But anyway, so here's the angle. The angle is, this is a no-cost free field trip that not only do you not have to pay for, but you don't have to do any of the work. We're going to do everything for you. I'll have staff. I'll take care of everything. Equipment, staff, facility, you name it. We'll take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You bring him here, 45 minutes. We're going to do, and by the way, it's a summer character development program. Doesn't have anything to do with martial arts, right? It's a summer character development program. And what we're going to do is we're going to teach him the two key lessons, the seven magic words of respect and the four laws of concentration. And Mr. Summer Camp Facilitator, what our goal is for them to be better campers. They're going to be saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to your facilitators instead of just saying yeah, right? They're going to raise their hand with two hands and all that stuff, right? This is what they're going to do. So you're selling them on the benefit of what their campers are going to be, right? And also the benefit that the parents are going to appreciate it as an added benefit to the camp that they could charge more for if they wanted to. And they keep the money, right? Whatever they want to do. So does that make sense? Yeah. So they're coming to us. In some cases, they can't come to us, and we go to them, and that's fine too. But the object would be for them to come to us. And a little piece of the technique by the way, on that is, if they do come to us, I would rather them come to us after whatever other activity they're doing that day rather than before. Right? So let's say they're bowling on Wednesdays. I would rather they go bowling first and then come to us, because I want to send the kids home vibrating with enthusiasm about what they just did in my school.
Sure.
Rather than have them do our thing and then go get distracted by bowling and then, you know, whatever. Okay. So the broad strokes of this thing are they're bringing them to us, or we're going to them, one or the other. We're going to do maybe one class a week for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, or maybe we do two classes a week for 3 weeks, whatever. You know, it's up to you. But again, start with the big ones with less frequency, because you're going to fill up. You're going to do a bunch of these things. I mean, these things are big deals. These are big, because you're solving their problem for them, right? I mean, it's a win-win-win, right?
Do you think this moves the teachers?
The facilitator?
Well, yeah, or whoever comes out is the kind of perks or anything like that. Not cheap bags or anything like that, but buy them coffee or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, love you that much more. Yeah, we definitely treat them really well. And normally what we find is, especially in Florida, I'm not sure about other states, but in almost all the cases, the summer camp facilitator is the same human being as the after-school program director for that school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Which is just another door into the school,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So we definitely treat them real well. We you know, always at the end of these things, we send them a box of chocolates or a box of cookies from Mrs. Fields, or, you know, we always do that stuff. Always. The principals for all the after school programs we do, always they get the big box of cookies that they set in, you know, it's a big, so they don't just put it in their own office, right? You know, it has to go out like by reception,
right.
You know, or wherever the office is where people, you know, where all the teachers go, you know, that sort of thing. We send them the big ass box of cookies. But yeah, definitely. This is a valuable relationship. You know,
sure.
and it's year after year. That's why Juan was able to get 10 set up, because DeBerry and Trinity are the two big ones, and there's also a Methodist church down there that's huge. I mean, I think they have like 100 and something in their camp, and I had done those three for the last, you know, I don't know, five, mm-hmm. 6 years, you know, 4 or 5 years. Right?
How long
like
do you do each
years.
One? Hour?
Yeah, 40 minutes an hour. Yeah, you keep it, you know.
And what do you do?
It's all about the character lessons. It's all about the seven magic words and the four rules of concentration, right? But it's, you know, it's
intermingled with kicking and
punching. Yeah, exactly. It's how we teach. It's mm-hmm. the same. It's intro one times three. It's
okay.
Just intro one, right?
Okay.
And one of the things that we do is in the sales letter and stuff, I promise that, you know, none of the physical techniques will. We don't teach any offensive physical techniques. It's all defensive, you know, because it's not about, you know, right? So we teach them some blocks and stuff. We teach them a couple kicks, but we teach them no punches or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. So
mm-hmm.
just some blocks and stuff. And, you know, I mean, look, it's just a first intro, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a first intro broken into three chunks. And we do some, you know, real fun, exciting stuff and, you know, whatever, block the noodle thing or, you
yeah.
know, I mean, just,
yeah.
you know, you're having
yeah.
fun.
Fun
you know, it's not, yeah, yeah, yeah. Any one of us, it's not a big deal. But what is a huge, 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 huge deal. Okay, let's back up. So that's how you set these things up, right? The thing is, you're solving their problem.
And that's to usually come to see over the course of a summer camp, how often?
Maybe once a week for 3 weeks or once a week for 4 weeks, something like that. Now, you do have some influx of students into these camps, right? Because the same people who are there the first week are mostly the same who are there the second week. However, you have some that go and some that come, and nothing you can do about that, right? But yeah, so once a week for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or really whatever you want to do. But it's been my experience that every time I've gone to do more than once a week or I've gone more than 3 or 4 weeks, I regret it because I could have put more programs in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you think about this thing now, if you think about this thing about how your day looks, you've got between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
to do these deals. So how many can you do in a day? 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Even if you had to travel, right? You could do 3 or 4 of them a day easy, right? And so that means you could do, you know, let's say 3 a day to be super conservative. Let's say you wanted to take 2 days and relax. So you could do 9 of these a week. And let's say the average camp only had 30 students. So that's 270 new prospects a week that you could be interacting with, right? So, I mean, that's better than most of us do in a school year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now here's how it works. here's how you make it work, right? You got to get 100% permission slips, right? You have to have data from everybody, without exception. And with these camp deals, they're easy to do because the campers have to check in and check out every morning and every evening anyway, right? So the week before the camp starts, we give them all the permission slips, right, that they have to have all the parents fill out. Mm-hmm. And they have to have them back in by the time the thing starts, right? So they're bringing us the big stack of 100 leads, handing it to us, right? And there's a lot of technique on that, and, you know, we don't want to get too crazy about this. But and then we need to do some round-robin stuff on this, too, because we're rapidly running out of time. But anyway, so it's permission slips, put them into the follow-up sequence. We're calling, let's say the program starts on Monday, we're calling them Thursday and Friday, everyone, and we're telling them what the program's all about. So we're calling all the parents, and we're saying, hey, Mrs. Jones, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but you had, Johnny's going to be participating in our summer character development program that we're doing at XYZ Elementary School's day camp on Monday. Did you remember filling out the form or whatever? Oh, yeah, we saw that. Okay, great. Well, here's what it's all about. Here's what we're going to be teaching, da-da-da. By the way, the very first lesson that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is the 7 magic words of respect. And Johnny's going to have a homework assignment when he comes home. He's going to have to use those 7 magic words of respect at home as well. So we really want you to help us with that. Is that something you think you can help us with at home? What do you mean? Well, what we mean is, what we've learned is that you can't get respect unless you give respect, right? So certainly what we want to do is teach the vocabulary of respect. And anytime you ask Johnny to do something at home, we want him to say, yes, ma'am, right? Now we're going to give him a little sheet of paper, and it'll have 10 spots on it. And every time he does do that, we want you to stick it right on the refrigerator. And every time he does do that, we want you to initial off on one of those sheets of paper. And he's going to bring that back into the class, and he'll earn his attitude stripe for that, right? Now the more attitude stripes he gets, you know, whatever, right? You go into the whole thing, right? Okay, great. Wonderful. Cool, right? Done. During that conversation, you're also like treating it like an info call, right? After you kind of tell them what it's all about, you say, hey, by the way, have you ever thought about getting, you know, Johnny involved in a program like this before? Oh, yeah, we thought, or oh, no, we're busy in the summer. Whatever. You know, just make the note on their little slip, you mm-hmm. know. But if it's yes, or if it's, well, what is it all about? You just treat it just like an info call. Get them to come in for the first intro. Forget everything else you did. Just treat it like a first intro, right? Okay, so then you go to the school and you do the class and you program them all. Right, you got to be a leader here, right? So you have to teach them the vocabulary. You teach them the 7 magic words. You bribe them to do it, right? Because they earn their attitude stripes and all that stuff.
Now you give them a belt.
I don't. We give them the belt if they come to the school for a lesson, right?
So how do they earn their attitude stripes?
Which is part of the pitch. They just hold on to it. They just keep them.
Well, we're using like tape. I mean, how do you keep that?
What do you use? Just do something different. I mean, it's not a big deal. Just give them a piece of paper with a high five on or something. Doesn't matter. What
okay.
You, right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Don't get hung up on that.
Okay.
But our deal is they're on a label that has a backing on it, so we just tear it off and give it to them, and they just hold on to it. Not a big deal, right? But I mean, it doesn't matter the mechanism. It could be a quarter sheet. One of the other mechanisms we use is a quarter sheet of paper that has a thumbs up on it and it said you did great and you know whatever, right?
Toby, okay.
It's not a big deal.
Out of ignorance, exactly what are the 7 magic words?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Ma'am. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you. You're welcome. Nothing. Right?
It's in that package.
Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. And if the four, you said it's four things.
Four laws of concentration: focus the eyes, focus the ears, focus the mind, focus the body.
Oh yeah.
But you know what they are exactly is the easy part. It's how you teach it in the class and all that stuff that makes a big impact. And programming them adequately so that it gets home, right? So here, let's not get into details because we could spend like 8 hours on details. Paradigm is more important. Here's the paradigm. The reason that this works really, really, really well is because you cast a huge net, right? And you're going to do 300-500 prospects in a month or two, right? A couple of the reasons that it's challenging is because it's not 300-500 people walking into your school that you can build a relationship with. They're dropped off, and you can't interact with the parent very much, if at all, right? So what you have to think about is how can I create that relationship with the parent at a high level of efficacy, right? So you have to think about the mechanisms you can use for that, right? And some of those mechanisms are we're direct mailing them at least twice a week. You know, with the, here's what we did in the class today, here's the homework assignment he's going to fill out, here's a couple extras just in case, here's the website you can go to download the homework assignment, here's the, right? So we're direct mailing them twice a week. We're voice broadcasting them once a week. We're outbound telemarketing them at least once during the thing, right? it all culminates in a graduation back at your school where you're trying to get everybody to come to earn their white belt and, you know, all that stuff. It all culminates with that. But the object is to get them into the school before then, right? So you have to think about how to bridge that gap. And again, it's direct mail, it's flyers you give them in class, it's the homework assignments you're giving them in the classes, the attitude stripes you're giving them in the classes, the stickers you're sticking on their shirt that says, this is clever, by the way. We'd use the shipping label, and we put like a little cool little karate picture on it, and we stick it on there, and they have to earn it by demonstrating the seven magic words, the four, whatever it is. And we stick it on their shirt, and it says, Mom or Dad, ask me what I learned in my character, about my karate character class today. And then below that it says a little bit smaller, it says, dear parent, if your son or daughter accurately demonstrates the four rules of the four laws of concentration, he's won a free gift, call this number. And it's the free gift is a free trial, and they call the number, and we treat it like first intro, right? Or an info call, right? So you do everything you humanly can to reach the parents, right? Which means telemarketing is a big thing. You got to call them all. You got to send them a bunch of stuff, right? You do everything you can. And you'll come up with solutions to this, but the idea is you got to put your brain to work on how do I bridge that gap between the drop-off kids, which they all are, right, in the camp, and getting that message home, and then ultimately getting them into the school. At the same time, you should have a very robust activity calendar that every week you're calling all these prospects or you're emailing them and you're sending them information about the event they can come to on Saturday or the event they can come to on Friday. And perhaps it's, you know, your anti-abduction thing, and then it's the child ID thing, and then it's the focus camp, and then, you know, whatever it is, you know, you name it. But you have to give them lots and lots of excuses to come into the school, and lots of bribes. And one of the bribes are, you know, you program the whole karate class, and this is how aggressive you have to get with this, right? To really make it work real well, you really have to pull out all the stops. And here's one of the things you have to do. So you're at your first lesson, right? Maybe you're 7 minutes into your first. We do 7 minute cycles, right? Seven. So you're 7 minutes into your first lesson. And you say, hey, by the way, everybody tonight at our karate school on Saxon and Enterprise, at 5 o'clock, we have a very special class for each one of you guys. And you're able to, you know, anybody who comes to their class, if you're able to learn the two lessons of the class, you're able to earn your very first karate white belt. Who would like to do that? And they'll raise their hand. And you say, okay, great. How do you earn your karate white belt? And they ask, oh, that's right. You have to do the. And what time is the class at? It's 5 o'clock. Where's the Saxon Enterprise? Right, exactly. You got to program, right? So that. And you program them as much to say, okay, well, you know, if your mom or dad were really busy tonight, which they probably are, you know, you'd have to probably be pretty nice to them to persuade them to take you to the karate class at 5 o'clock. So how do you think you would ask them about that? Do you think you would say, hey, Mom, take me over there at 5? Or do you think you could say, you know, right? So you got to program them. You got to teach them what to say. You know what I mean? You got to, you know, all that stuff, right? So anyway, so it's flyers in class. It's direct mail. It's everything, right? It's everything you can possibly do. You give everybody the flyers in class, and you have to know that 60% of them are going to get left at the camp, right? You put the sticker on their shirt, and you know that 20% of them are going to fall off. You know, you just know that, right? But you do it all because one of those pieces is going to get there, you know? And the ones that are real hot, 3 or 4 of the pieces are going to get there, you know what I'm saying? And those are the ones that, okay? So anyway, that's the model. So then you're doing, you know, 3, 4 classes, whatever it is, And you're just consistently, constantly dripping on that list. And, you know, I mean, look, any one of us, you know, goes out in front of a group of 100 people, how many do you think should, you know, want to do it? You know? I mean, even if you suck, 10 or 15 of them are going to say this is cool, right? Now, the real question is, how do you make that a big number? You know, and that's what I'm talking about, how you get, you know, all this media and all this stuff and all, you know, whatever. And none of this is difficult. This is, you stay up until 4 o'clock tonight, on the plane or whatever, and you write the letter that you're going to send the first week, and then tomorrow you stay up till 3, and you write the second letter they're going to get that week, and the next night you stay up only until midnight because you're almost done, right? I mean, that's what this is, right? This isn't tough. Okay, so that's the big deal. So that's the big home run for summer right now for us, right? And there's just no reason that you shouldn't be in front of at least, you know, 300, 400, 500 prospects during this. Right, and for most schools, if they do this thing and they execute appropriately, they'll do more enrollments in June, July, and August than probably they've done the rest of the year. Right, I know all the franchisees right now are just like they're frustrated with trying to follow up with them all. Mm. Which, if you have to have a problem in the universe, that's a great problem to suffer with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So now there are a couple of franchisees, I'll tell you straight up, there are a couple that we can't get to go do it. And here's why. Here's how we get in, by the way. One of the things we do is we have a big set, like a 16-page sales letter that I wrote, and it's pretty good, and we send it in a FedEx package, right? FedEx with signature, right, to the person that they told us was the administrator or the facilitator. And the FedEx is, what, $8 or whatever. So we send the FedEx, and then we immediately walk in the day after the FedEx hits, right? Because I know what happens. What happens is the FedEx lands on Mrs. Smith's desk, and she goes, ooh, it's a FedEx. And they tear it open, because FedEx, they get open, right? FedEx is get open. They tear it open, they pull out the thing, and they look at it, and it says, you know, announcing an amazing no-cost, you know, no-cost field trip that your students will love and their parents will thank you for. Well, that's interesting. And then they go, you know, free summer character development program, da-da-da-da-da. And they look at the letter, and they go, free what? Oh, crisis over here. And they set it down, and they go handle the crisis. And then they come back to their desk, and five other sheets of paper get set on top of the FedEx, and then, right? But I'm fine with that, because I walk in the next day, and I meet Mrs. Jones, and I say, hey, Mrs. Jones, I sent you a package yesterday. I just want to make sure you had it, and that, you know, I had a chance to answer any questions you might have. And she goes, yeah, you know, I saw it, and it was about a free field trip. What was it all about again? You know, see, now that's the difference between the unwelcome pest and the welcome guest, right? I'm going in with both hands full of stuff for her. Not like, what can you do for me, right?
Right.
So, and that's what happens. You know, I think I've had one guy, Ray Fugit, ever call me by sending, you know, 60 FedExes or 30 FedExes. I had one guy actually call. But every time I walk in, they kind of remember something about something they read about some free thing, right? I mean, really, that's about how much they pay attention, right? Because, I mean, look, they got crises going on out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they got 110 kids running around, you know? So you just have to know that.
Curious about what kind of stuff you've run into that actually when you've gotten those. I mean, I can't imagine you've gotten that many of them.
No, mostly it's
scheduling. Or
yeah, I mean, if they have a full schedule or something like that, mostly the no that you get is either they don't perceive they can say yes, like they don't perceive they have the power to make the decision.
Oh, right, okay.
They perceive that they have to hand it to somebody else who's separated from the situation that you can't get to. You know, that's usually the or the third one is they have some sort of blanket policy that they believe exists that prohibits something like this from happening.
Okay.
That's usually it. I mean, this is a win-win-win. Oh, very rarely they'll have a karate objection.
Right.
You know, very rarely they'll come, because in the sales letter look, we know that those are going to be the problems, right? So what do you think the sales letter says?
Right.
Yeah, the sales letter says, you know, this program accomplishes these goals, and I have 11 testimonials from other facilitators right in there that say, you know, I thought that the kids were going to be kicking and punching all over the place, but they made such a big deal out of this, and da-da-da-da-da, right? And one of the paragraphs in there says, you know, now I know what you may be thinking, that you don't want to create, you know, 110 of your kids running around the playground, kicking and punching and practicing. Please rest assured that XYZ will happen, and this is how we approach this, and this is what we'll do. And now, granted, keep in mind that some students may forget this unbendable rule, and if and when that does occur, please notify me at this email address, at this phone number immediately, because I'll handle it instantly using this method that's positive, and you know, all that stuff, right? I'll show you the letter, but yeah, well, that's right. But you know, you got to do that. You know, you got to do that, and that's part of the conversation too. And another part of the conversation, by the way, that's critical. Remember, it's pink elephant, right? What are all the pink elephants? The other part is, so if I'm a facilitator, why would I object, right? I told you the four of them, right? There might be one other objection in there that's perhaps unarticulated, right? Subconscious, which is, you're in here just to fill your school with students, right? So that's got to be part of the conversation. And it's in the sales letter. Part of the conversation is, well, you know, here's what we can do, and here's the program, and it's really great, and all these people have had great experiences. Now, obviously, a certain number of the students who participate in this program and their families will choose to continue, you know, training in our school, and that's great. You know, and that's just part of it. You know, 5 or 6% of the people will decide that they want to continue their training and really become, you know, really do this, you know, for a long time. And if you're the first one that says it, you're fine.
Yeah.
If you don't, and you let them say it, you got a problem. You know what I'm saying?
kids who enroll will be your best behaved
students. Well, that's right. That's right.
You know, is there a problem with your children going to a character development program outside of school time?
Yeah. Hey, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, you know? Sounds like a great good idea. Yeah.
You good?
I'm good.
Okay. But anyways, that makes sense. So that's the big home run. Again, you figure out, if you had 300 leads, you know, what do you think you could do to get those 300 leads to do something with you, you know? Now, what is frustrating is that a lot of school owners will call 10 of them, and they'll get 7 people to say, well, you know, we're really busy during the summer and we're on vacation. And see, those 7 people will then color the way they see the universe and say that, oh, this thing doesn't work because everybody's on vacation during the summer and nobody's enrolling. And okay. Well, if that were true, which it's not, but if it were true, well, what have you just created for August? You've just created a 350 lead pipeline of all people who are going to be getting back to schedule in August, right? So at minimum, this thing should create, you know, 15 to 20 new enrollments a month during June and July, because, you know, if you're dealing with 400 of them, don't you think, you know, 2% of them or 3% of them aren't going to be gone for the next 3 months, right? And they're looking for something to do, right? And then you've got also just this big list of people who it's not the right time for yet. Well, when is the right time? Back to school could be the right time for a lot of them.
When they go back to school?
Down here, August, I think.
August 15th, I think.
Yeah,
we don't start until September.
18th. Or September.
Yeah, September.
Yeah, so you guys have lots of time left. Yeah. So anyway, that's how you approach it if it was 4 weeks ago. It's not any different than today, other than now you might be fighting the I have a full calendar objection.
I already found that. Yeah, to be the case, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you may. Which is a good excuse to start real early next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to that same guy who has a full calendar now and get you on the calendar for next year now. You know,
mm-hmm.
if they're not that organized, then, you know, find out when you need to go talk to them next year to make sure that they get you in. But again, this is one of those things where if you were going to do it sloppy like I did, if you were going to do it real sloppy the way I did it, you would have 2 or 3 this year, and next year you have those 2 or 3 like calling you,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting you to come back. So see, now you beggars can be choosers. Right now you've got, you know.
Well, see, I have a pretty good relationship with a lot of the preschools,
mm-hmm.
because we just do some stuff with them over
same
the years.
Deal, yeah.
So some of them I haven't approached yet. So yeah, I think I could probably still, even though it may be late, I think I could probably still get in. I actually did one that they paid me for a couple of years ago. But it was a small group, but it's real close and it was real easy, and it came to me.
And still, even though we're late in the season, still do yourself the favor of starting with the big ones. Because, I mean, every elementary school, every public elementary school in your area is having a summer day camp.
I don't think they do it by us. I really don't. I've never heard of that at all.
I don't know. I know in Florida, every flipping one of them
really
has a summer day camp.
Interestingly enough,
I can find out.
Just call around. Just call around all the day camps. Yeah,
in Palm Beach County, they really put a muzzle on the finances that these people, that the directors can utilize.
Yeah, exactly.
And camp numbers are, right at this point, you know, maybe a third to a half of what they were just 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been the experience I've had because I'm involved with 3 elementary schools,
mm-hmm.
And the program directors are all you know crying the same song.
Yeah, so this would be a great solution for them because this is an added value that they can add to their program that could help them attract more customers.
Yeah, and one of them actually
you could frame it that way.
Yeah, and actually one of them does see it that way, and you know is coming in, and we started that last year, and very successfully.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, look, again, the thing is the universe of these people aren't limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many elementary schools are in your area? 5 or 6? How many daycares? 10 or 11? How many churches? 5 or 6? How many youth groups? 2 or 3?
5 or 6 on our street.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know,
there's...
We live in, like, you know...
There's a huge
Bible
universe of these people.
You know, territory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a huge universe of these prospects, you know, and there's probably 50 in everybody's area. So what if you got only, you know, 20% of them? You have 10 of these programs set up, you know? And all of us, if we were all to get out of our own way and forget everything else and just go meet the guy, every one of us would close at least half the people we talk to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, so if there's 50, every one of us could go close 25 of these deals, really. I mean, as long as you're going into it with the right frame, and the right frame is, how do we help you?
Yeah.
How do we work together?
How many of these other things they have scheduled helps them as much as you
yeah.
are able to?
The bowling alley, like, you know, helps a lot because it wastes 4 hours. You know, they get to go there for 4 hours. That's it. That's all it does.
That's
right?
True.
This thing creates better people. Right? This thing creates better campers, more polite, more
exactly.
respectful, more,
less
you know.
Headache, yeah.
Plus, they get to take an hour off.
Yeah, that's true.
They get to sit in the bus if they want, or they can sit and watch the class, or they can do whatever they want, right? This has been so successful that the homework assignments that we use in now the two big summer camps, Trinity and DeBerry Elementary, both use that homework assignment in their camps, right?
Wow.
So they use it in their things.
And a homework assignment is just
the 10 initials for saying yes or yes, ma'am, and the four rules of concentration.
Yeah.
And the four rules of concentration basically is mom puts that one on the refrigerator, and rule number one is focusing the eyes, right? So here's how you teach it. So Johnny, I know when you're at home and you're playing your video games and you're watching the video game, right? And you're kind of playing that and it's pretty fun, and mom is in the kitchen and she wants to tell you something. What do you think would be the best way to, you know, demonstrate that law of concentration? Would it be to kind of keep your eyes on the video game and kind of talk to mom, listening out of this ear and, you know, this ear? Or would it be better to, like, hit the pause button and look straight at mom and make really good eye contact? Which one would be better? And say, oh, we could make good eye contact. Okay, great. So that's your homework assignment. So today, while you're at home and you're playing the video, see, now if they can do that, and they will do it, a lot of them will do it. You know, if you can get them excited enough about earning the thing and the stripe and the thing, and they come up in front of the class and everybody, you know. I mean, look, it's the same way we teach everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't brain surgery. This is just taking it that little step more, you know, that really communicates the benefit home. And, you know, I mean, look, you know, they're not going to call you begging to come in, but you can sure call them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have lots of reasons for them to come. And you can have lots of, when you're calling them now, this isn't a cold call. Now this is a call that you've built a relationship with these humans, with this family. And you're now not unwelcome past your trusted advisor.
And you recommend having a graduation with a white belt at your school? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, it used to be our model for these school things was that was the lead, that was the enrollment generator.
Mm.
Was we would do the 3 or 4 week program a couple times a week, and then we would bring them to the graduation, and that would be like the stadium pitch. So we did the big graduation, get as many people as you can, have all the parents. Videotape it, you know, everything, and then your goal is to take those 50 people that showed up and enroll 15, 20, 30 of them, you know, out of that group, right?
That night?
You do a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But, well, you treated their first lesson like the first intro. That could possibly even be their second intro,
mm-hmm.
depending on how, you know, depending on what they were doing. But if nothing else, that was their first intro. So then you're scheduling them all for their second intro, and they have to walk past the table of uniforms on the left-hand side and the program director on the right-hand side, where they schedule their appointment for their second intro and take their free uniform when they go, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, you're just leveraging all that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that used to be the model, was do everything at the graduation. Now we're finding that we're having more success not waiting, because if there's 110 kids in the program, we're only going to get 40 of them to graduation. We're only going to get 15 to enroll. But if we can have out of the 110, if we can have, you know, 25 people come to Monday's class and 35 people come to Thursday's class, and you know we have better penetration into the list, you
mm-hmm.
know,
because okay.
We have more of them engaged, you know, and in most cases we'll do, the rule of thumb has been a third. So if for the school programs, the summer things are a little different, but if it was a school program, if we had 100 people in the school program, we would enroll about a third of them, including before and during the graduation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we would get maybe 18 to 20 before the graduation, then another 10 at the graduation. You know, something like that.
It's great.
I mean, it's good numbers, you know. And in some cases, it's only, and even if it's only a sixth, you know, it's still 15 new enrollments
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you didn't have the week before, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good deal. So anyway, so that's our huge, huge, huge home run, right? I mean, that's a monstrous home run, right? What else you guys got going during the summer right now? What are you guys doing that we can kind of, you know, mastermind on and
we've been running for the last about 8 years. We advertise a free summer program for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thanks, Mark.
People waiting for me.
I see. Yeah,
thanks so much.
See you again soon.
Yeah, let's take a 10-minute. Let's take a quick 10-minute break.